We're going to tell you about the relief effort we just took part in tonight. We've got some pictures that we took while we were assembling the goods, loading the goods, and a lot of people involved. And I know it's said often that 10% of the people in a congregation do 90% of the work. I don't believe that's the case here at this congregation. I would like to know, percentage-wise, what the number is that we just participated in this one effort. And this is not, by any means, the only effort that this congregation is involved with. So really appreciate the help and the effort. You didn't have to go, just bringing stuff, just helping sort through things. There were just so many little things. We're going to try to name as many names as we can. Now, I'm not real good with names, especially when I have to be, you know how that is. And if we miss you, it's certainly not intentional. But we're going to get as many of the names as we can of people who helped. And if we miss you, I'm sorry. Certainly didn't intend to. What I would like to do, since I can only talk about the parts that I was involved with, I would like for Arnold to come at this time and talk a little bit about how the ball got rolling on this particular effort. After that, we'll start going through some of the slides. I would like for, when the time comes, Dwayne talk about a little bit about the truck and how the arrangements were made for that. A little bit later, what I'd like for Chuck to do, if he would, I know you talked to some of the people down there a little bit about how they were handling things. So we'll let Arnold start this off.
Going from memory, as I recall, we made the announcement on a Wednesday night after the hurricane struck that we were going to try to send an 18-wheeler to the Gulf Coast. We picked that area because everything on TV at that time was talking about New Orleans. And everyone you talked to, that's where they were going to send help, to New Orleans or into Louisiana, particularly to Baton Rouge. And we knew that the Mississippi coast was hit just as hard, if not harder, with that hurricane. So we made the announcement that Wednesday night that we were going to try to do that, ask you to bring things. And that evening, I knew that Emily Anderson's grandparents were members of one of the congregations along the coast. So I asked her to get me some phone numbers, which she did, and called me Wednesday night and gave me the preacher's name from Biloxi, Mississippi, where he was staying after he had fled that storm. So I called that number. He wasn't in, but they had an answering machine on his phone, so I told him why I was calling. Thursday, a man that most of you don't know, his last name's Whiteside. He's a student of IBC and has asked us to help support him there, and we haven't been able to, but he called me and said, I understand that West Huntsville is going to try to get some supplies together. He said, I'm going to try to get IBC to do the same thing, Heritage now. And he said, if Heritage will agree to it, would you bring anything you might collect there, and maybe together we can get an 18-wheeler. I told him, if we don't make it here, yes, we would, whatever we took, whatever we collected, we would take to them. But I said, there was a flood in the Midwest one time recently. We made the same announcement, and West Huntsville did fill 18-wheelers at that time. In fact, I think it was two, although other congregations did help us. I said, we may just have our own 18-wheeler. He said, okay. Get back with him, and we'd talk about it later. Well, 30 minutes later, he called me and he said, the preacher in Biloxi that you've been trying to get in touch with, I've talked with him. Here's another phone number. Call him right away. He wants to talk with you. So I called him and talked with him for an hour and a half. It was the second hurricane that he had experienced. He told me he was in the Florence area. His name was Roger Mills. Some of you from Florence that are here may know him. Used to preach over there in that area. 76 years old, said he'd been trying to find congregations that would provide relief to them in Biloxi. Said he was striking out. Every church that he talked to says, we're going to go to Louisiana. Even Nashville Disaster Relief said they couldn't help him. They were committed to Louisiana for so long. So he begged us to send things there with the understanding that they would just be a distribution point to provide services to anywhere that needed it. He said they were the only Church of Christ building left intact with a storage area anywhere between New Orleans and Pascagoula. And so based on that, that's why we decided, Glenn wasn't here, Mike and I talked about it, we decided if we could fill an 18-wheeler, that's where we would take things. And with your help, that's what happened.
All right, if you'll, in the next slide here. The Lord's always looking for people to do His work. And He came to Isaiah and asked him, who shall I send and who will go for us? And we always need people that are willing to step up to the plate. Next slide, please. There's a couple that did a lot to organize and keep things moving. We needed somebody just kind of organize the stuff down in the basement, and also we needed people to be down there and let people in that were bringing things. There was a whole list of people. There's some names that I have here, and it's probably not a complete list. Of course, Jean Kathy Bailey and D.C. Nancy Smith. We also have Nancy Cantrell and Carol Whitaker. We had people that were not members here helping. Betty Williams is a name that I have here. It helped out a lot. Renee Dean, Deanne Foy, Susan Holder, Tommy Hughes, Chuck and Shirley Nolan, of course Chuck Daniel, Nathan Anderson. Here's a slide of DC and Gene organizing things. We eventually had this whole bottom part of the basement there full of goods, full of pallets. We just thought, you know, this is not going to fit on the truck. Well, that was a big truck. Next slide, please. There's Chuck putting some tape on a box. We just had a lot of helpers. Next slide, please. There's some ladies that were helping out. Lee Burleson, Marla Pig, Alicia Weldon. I believe that's Sue behind Linda Wilburn there. Next slide, please. There's a couple more. Now, you may not know the lady on the left. They've been visiting here. Her name's Annie Bates. Of course, Alyssa Clark. Annie's husband's a police officer. They've been visiting here, and she came down and helped one night. So there's a couple of police officers' wives. They're discussing things. Next slide. Here's some more of the stuff. We just had, at one time you couldn't walk down there, and the next day I got down there, and it was all nice and sorted and on pallets and stuff. Just an amazing amount of effort that went into that. There's another shot. Okay, we had really two times we met to put things on the truck. The first Friday night was loading. Of course, here's the rest of that scripture from Isaiah. Where he said, here am I, send me. Next slide. Now there's the truck. Dwayne, if you want to, this would be a good time, I think, to tell a little bit about your involvement and how we came by the truck.
Arnold got with me, I guess, that Sunday after the made the announcement and asked me if I'd be willing to participate and take a truck. And I guess the Lord's blessed me in one thing is I got a gift of gab and I sell trucks for a living. So it worked out well. And my boss is a member of the church, and so Arnold asked me, and I said, sure, we'll be glad to do it. And this is how it all started. That's not the original truck that actually we took. I don't sell those. For those who don't know, that's a Mack truck. Dwayne sells Western Stars. So that's a Western Star. That's a Mack truck. But he asked if I would do that, and I kind of figured out how it was going to go and who was going to load, and kind of got worried about how I was going to drive down there because I got my CDLs, but I thought if I drive 10 hours, I ain't going to be no good unloading. So I got a driver to drive. We didn't have to go through a weight scale or nothing, so we were fortunate. But that is a 53-foot trailer, 102 wide, 102 tall. I'm going to say we broke the first 13 pallets that we had stacked up, broke down to 5. That'll give you an idea. So we loaded probably 30 feet from top to bottom. And we pallet jacked them in from here, rode them down the hill. Grant learned to ride a forklift pallet before it was over with, like a horse. He could get on it and go down the hill, and he was yeehawing. So we did that. So it was a lot of fun getting down there doing that. So we loaded it from the back. We parked it over here. In hindsight, 2020, if I'd been smart, I'd have blocked the gate. We were going to do that trip down there. With the entrance, we could have just backed it up here. But we pallet jacked. But that's the truck that we didn't take. We took another truck. There's going to be a picture of a gentleman in a minute, maybe. You'll go to the next slide. The pallet jack, what we tried to do, we got 102 wide and 102 tall. We just lifted them on. And the guys who, I don't know who come up with calculating the weight, but some of those probably weighed 2,500 pounds when we were going down the hill with them. But what we did, we loaded them. For those who don't know, G.W. Garland down the street, when we had the stuff we sent to Kharkov, great people. I asked him to come up and help us with a forklift. They come up an hour and a half and forklift the stuff up. We did a pallet jack on the inside, and then we did hand loaded it from there so we could kind of put it in from top to bottom. Next slide. There we are tonight. That we probably should have started a little earlier, but we worked till, I guess, 9:15 on Monday night. Next slide. There's a bunch of people. Now, we carried a lot of things. I think the only thing that we didn't carry, Patsy asked me about a refrigerator. That's the only thing that I believe we didn't get on the truck. But everything else, we had washer and dryers, microwaves, and all kind of appliances. But that's where people's getting the appliances ready to set on the back end of the truck. There we are, figuring out how we're going, all of us going to get that one piece of appliance up there at one time. But that wasn't that bad, though. A lot of people helped. I'll be up front with you. It was a blessing to me. And if you ever get an opportunity to do this, you kind of have reservations, but I don't know who got more joy from it. It was very humbling for me to do that. I mean, I got excited about loading. Then I got worried about driving. I want to look forward to the drive. But when I got down there, it was a humbling and awesome experience. Next slide. You can see Clint has broken the sweat. But there's a lot of people. Now, when we got down there, this little thing here, what we was worried about when we first talked about this, I was I was a little nervous because the example that they give us that we're going to have to back up and carry this stuff 75 to 100 yards and put that 53-foot container into a 17 by 70 little shed, and we're going to have to hand carry it all. And there was 20 of us who went, and I was thinking it took us 7 hours to load, and some of the people who went asked how long it takes to unload, and I said probably 8 hours. But it didn't. It took us 1 hour and 20 minutes to unload. But we carried the jacks, and a lot of people donated not just their time, but some of their personal belongings. We carried the hand trucks down and those little sliders, which we didn't actually have. And, of course, Tom was making sure it was on there before we wouldn't lose them in case we needed them. Next slide. Keith. I think that's Keith here, yeah. This is, I guess, the night when we got finished. Everybody, and this is a lot of people, but it really isn't. When I come, the days that I come to get G.W. Garland to come, there was people here during the church all during the day. Gene Bailey in B.C. Was kind of the right-hand man behind doing the stuff. But they was all here, and some of the people, that's actually, you can figure we had a two shifts. We had an early shift and a late shift. They would leave, we would come in, and this is the late shift. But there's a lot of people behind the scenes that did a lot of things that really, there's a lot of people that deserve a lot of credit. The Lord truly bless us, and we do have a great group. Next slide.
tell you a little bit about the trip now. The verse I picked out is from Ezra. Of course, Ezra went on a trip of his own from Babylon back to Jerusalem. And before he went, he assembled the people that he needed and took stock of who he had and who he needed extra. And then, of course, he trusted in the Lord to be with him. And this is from Ezra 8. The hand of our God was upon us, and he delivered us. And I feel like he did the same with us. Next slide. Okay, we departed at 4:30 a.m., arrived at 12:30. We had the truck unloaded by 3, and we got back and unfull at 12:30 the next morning. And that was a whirlwind trip, let me tell you. For those of you who are in doubt, there is another 4 o'clock in the morning. The route we took was straight down 65 through Mobile. Then we hooked up with I-10 and went west. And the closer we got to I-10, the more damage you could see. In Mobile, you could actually see a few of the roofs that were had damage. And then the further west you went on I-10, the worse it got. There were trees down. There were signs, what impressed me. Just the sign of road signs and billboards and things, none of them were left standing. They were just all twisted metal and missing out in the pasture and things, just all over trees, leaning over on power lines and things. You could see some of the workers still working them. This is a I doubt that you can see much of this, but this is a picture of Biloxi. Up at the top here is I-10. We came in this way, and there's actually a shorter way to go down to 110, but we were advised to go over here to a little road, come down south here, and then come back along what's called the Pass Road, which is down here. So we came all the way back up the Pass Road and then to south a few blocks to where the church at Rodenburg Avenue was the name of the street that it was on. So it's Rodenburg Avenue, Church of Christ. And it was only like 2-3 blocks off the beach. Next slide, please. As we came down I-10 there, the amount of devastation that the wind can cause is just amazing. This sign here, I hope you can see that, pretzel-looking thing, that's a McDonald's sign. Just twisted. Here's some more that you can see the roofs have been covered with plastic. You would go along and see no damage, and then all of a sudden, just a building that was just all it was cinder blocks left in a heap. Next slide. This is kind of the back of a little shopping area. I'll see damage here. Next slide. There's a relief. Disaster relief site that had been set up with supplies and things that people could come and get. This was along Pass Road as we were coming in. Next slide. There's a picture of a sign that I was talking about. These signs, they were all just twisted metal, big old concrete that it was poured to hold the sign up, just pulled out of the ground. There were some red lights that were working that had electricity. A lot of them did not, and there was the National Guard out directing traffic. We won't talk about the mess on the windshield on the right, but we had a rookie window cleaner. We came through a sea of bugs just before Mobile. It was love bugs, and they were just covered the front of the windshield. And so when we stopped for gas, we had to clean all that up. Next slide, please. Okay, this is the church there at Rodenburg. There, when we got, this is the picture as I pulled up. So this is not our stuff. They obviously had some supplies there already. There's some water. Over here to the left is where there was a driveway. We backed the 18-wheeler into that. Next slide. Here's the effort of unloading the truck. It was hot. It was real hot. Kind of got worried about folks. I was real proud of them. They unloaded for about a half hour and then decided that they would take a break. So we kind of paced ourselves a little bit in that way, so we wouldn't didn't want anybody to get sick or anything. But what we did is we kind of, he told us that he wanted it on pallets next to the church, so we kind of designated certain pallets would be certain things, food, water, paper goods, clothes, and as they would bring pallets to the back of the truck, then we'd form a human conveyor line and just kind of pass it to the appropriate places. Next line. When we're finished, there's all the stuff that we had in the truck there, and they were going to bring some plastic and get it covered. Next line. I took a shot from the other side. Now, some of this stuff that's already plastic wrapped, that was stuff that was already there. Some of it was meals ready to eat and stuff like that that they already had. It's a little bit closer shot. There was just a truckload of stuff. There's a picture after the truck left that I took. In the background, you can see some apartments and things that had no roof. There we are, kind of talking and discussing things after the loading was over. Some of these guys here on the left were the National Guard. The guy in the suspenders there is Joe Powers. He was our contact that we had for going down there. And I'm going to let Chuck talk a little bit about, I think he talked to some of the helpers and how they were handling things. There's a couple of them there.
Well, first of all, I want all of you to be proud of your young folks here. They did a super job. Now, this is the entrance to the church, and what they've done is set up a country store in here. Out front, they had, we saw before, they had the water and they had baby formula. In the church, in the vestibule, and down maybe six or eight rows into the auditorium, they had set up like a country store. And when someone would come in and need some food or need something, we'd hand them, or they would hand them, a couple of Walmart bags and put a pamphlet in there or a tract, and they were allowed to fill up two Walmart bags. And besides that, they were able to get a case of water and a great big 3-pound box of baby formula. And there's not that many people left from the church that stayed there because there was so much damage. The church is only 2, maybe 3 blocks from the coast, and the coast was just devastated. You could look each way down the coast and you wouldn't see any buildings, you'd just see overturned cars. Anyway, we need to be proud of our National Guard and our Air Force Base. There were 6 that came over from the Air Force Base, including a young lady, and boy, they were just godsend. They really got into it and helped us, and they did a terrific job. Of course, so did all the people that we took along. Everybody worked. The devastation around that area, it was strange. As we were leaving, going through the neighborhood, I saw one thing that just really struck me. A house with a tin roof, and they still have a few of them there. The wind had come along, taken the tin roof off, sort of rolled it into a ball, and threw it through a house 2 or 3 doors down, and it looked like a bomb had gone in there. That tin roof just tore the front of the the building out of, let's see, what else can we tell? And like I said before, the National Guard and the Air Force Base were just super. They really helped us a lot.
On the next slide. There's Joe Powers and the Suspenders in the middle. And he kind of gathered us together after we finished. And he said a few things and said some real nice things. Thanked us for bringing the goods. And, of course, closed with a prayer. I think Nathan's looking at his finger there thinking, I got a blister. Next slide. Okay, there's the folks. There's about eight from the, I guess, you know, I'm not sure if they were from the Air Force Base, I guess, the, or National Guard, but...
He was from Air Force Base. The guys who were just in street clothes were National Guard that were off duty.
Okay. It was a combination then of National Guard and Air Force. They're kind of kneeling to the left. And then the folks that went left to right, I have Kevin Payne, Alan Foy, Jim Samples, Mike Payne, Bethany Bowman, Krista Conwell, Nathan Bowman, Clint Dozier, Emily Anderson, Dwayne Shoemate, Ernie Ballou, Lindsey Collier, Tom Collier, Grant Weldon, Dave Stewart, Marvin Barnes, Ron Adams, Tony Mathias, of course myself, and Chuck. Next slide, please. After we finished, we walked down the street. It's hard to see from here, but way in the background is the Gulf, and that's how close we were. That car there used to be a 240 SX, a fairly recent model. It was strange. This is a frame house. There's a guy, yeah, go ahead, sitting on the front of the porch there. He did have a fan, so they had electricity at that house that was running. I noted that the church had electricity and water when we were there. Kind of a sign there that's ominous. So much to do, so little time. Next slide. There's a picture of the devastation that was on the beach, and it was just amazing. Anything with steel frames had just been picked clean, and all that was left was the frame and just debris everywhere. There's a souvenir shop in the background. Coincidentally, a workmate of mine sent me some pictures. There's one of it is exactly that souvenir shop. So we were standing kind of over here at this corner, and this is Rodenburg Avenue here, and so the church would have been right up here in this area. That's just kind of a shot. I know some of y'all might be wondering, how did he get that? That was from the internet. Next slide. There's some more just looking west down the beach. Next slide. There's a picture of some of the military vehicles that were helping to clean up, moving up and down. That's Highway 90. There they had that closed. You couldn't go on it. Next slide. This is looking back east from Rodenburg. There's a Holiday Inn sign, but you know, there's nothing left. Bethany down in the corner there. Next slide. There was State Patrol. It was down there. They were keeping people from going down there and being where they shouldn't be. There's a group of us that were just kind of standing there with our mouths open at all the destruction. Another one of the state police. Next slide. Some helicopters were flying. There were big ones and little ones. Next slide. Going back up the street, things were just piled up on the side. Next slide. Is that car again? That front end don't belong to that car. I don't know where it came from. They just, next slide. Push things to the side. There's just trash and everything. Just first things first. Next slide. There's a tree that had been down and had to be cut up so you could get through the road. Next slide. Here's another slide I got from the internet, but one of the delays that we had getting there was along I-10 where they wouldn't let you go on the bridge that was on the south side of the closest to the Gulf because it had been damaged by a barge here. pushed over. So they had all the traffic rerouted onto the other bridge there, going both ways. And it was just really slow going. Seemed like an hour. It probably wasn't that long, but it did take us a while to get through there. There's a close-up shot of them repairing the bridge. It was kind of funny. You got to this imaginary line, and after you got past there, and the traffic speed picked up, so everybody was kind of rubbernecking. Next slide. That's it. I don't know. Do you have anything you want to say? Really appreciate all the help, and I think you can be proud of the effort that you put forth to help those people down in Biloxi.
When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Is there someone here who wants to become a Christian by repentance and confession and baptism? If so, we're going to offer that opportunity now as we stand and sing. Won't you come?